Shir's Medrash Aritzvila. The Monty Night Seder of his Medrash invites everyone to tonight's Shir. Tonight's Shir is sponsored by Chos Refuah Shleima, Moshe HaKoyen de Miriam Rus, and his wife Esther Mindel, Bas Miriam Gittel. The Monty Night Seder program offers a growing variety of daily and weekly Shiurim and Chumash Gemara, Daf Yomi and Halacha, as well as one-on-one Chavrusa learning. If anyone here, or themselves, or they know anyone that needs a Chavrusa Night Seder, either daily or once or twice a week even, please let me know, and we'll be delighted to help set it up as a Hashem. It is a great covenant and schos to have a Rav Goyen of Urn Reich Shlita, Rosh Hashiva of Woodlake Village, give us some Divrei Chizuk with his Oiris and his Tkufa of Bein HaMetzarim. We will also be privileged to hear from him as well, some Divrei Hespid on his Choshev V'Shvigar, Ha'isha HaChashuva, Rebbe Tzim Rishul Kotler Olah Shalom, with Nifter this past Friday night. Bein Hashama Heaven Aliyah.
This past week is a week for my wife and her family, a week of Avelis, which coincides with the 9 days of Avelis of Klal Yisrael. And there's a stark difference between these two kinds of Avelis that one can't help noticing. Avelis le'aleinu, for a person who loses someone who's close to him, who's dear to him, parent, le'aleinu, starts with a tremendous chaymer, Avelis yom rishon, Avelis deraisa, first day maybe. Even tefillin is also. Then the chaymer becomes slightly more lenient for the shiva. And then there's the shleishim, more lenient. And then there's the yud beis chedesh, more lenient. And the avelis on chud mis hamikdash escalates. It's exactly the opposite. It starts with the 3 weeks, goes into mishnich nesav, shvu shachol boy, erev tisha b'av, and tisha b'av. What's the reason for this? The reason is really quite obvious. A person who loses a nifter, me'aleinu, the tzora is the pirut. The tzora is the missing of someone who's close to you. It's very acute when it happens. So the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us a power to come to terms with the loss. As time goes on, time heals a little bit, and the Avelis, the level of the Avelis, begins to taper off. After Yud Beis Chedesh, there's no Avelis at all. And one of the reasons that are given is that even though Kibbud Av dictates that a person should maintain his Avelis after Shloshim, it's not possible to hold on to it after 12 months. Because after 12 months, which is the Shir of Shikha, there cannot be a genuine Avelis on the degree of Hilchas Avelis. Chum Bisamigdash is a perpetual loss. Chum Bisamigdash is a loss that a person really should never be able to come to terms with. It's Derech HaOlam that a person loses a father and a mother, Le'aleinu. The shock of the period, the tsar of the period, Hashem has brought to the person the power to come to terms with it. But a rule without this English, the period of this function world, and the Avelis is to help a person, on the contrary, to get out of becoming used to it, to become less and less used to it. It's the being used to it that doesn't allow us to appreciate the Avelis in its entirety. And Hashem Yisborach gives us, through Chazal, stage after stage, to realize that we really are Avelim, even though this is the life we're used to. Avodas on Beis HaMikdash is very hard for us to really feel with the sincerity, because even though intellectually we understand that there's something called Beis HaMikdash, it's not something we've ever had. It's not something our fathers had or our grandfathers had. We can talk about Kovna, we can talk about Vasha. There are people who told us, who heard from people who were there and know that there was this and there was that. No one that we've ever heard of, no one within Deiris ever witnessed the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore it becomes, by a person, what the Gemara calls an Avelis Yishana, becomes distant. And the 3 weeks and the 9 days are there for a person to feel it, an immediacy, to feel that it's real. That even if time has gone by, and even if thousands of years have gone by, we should never come to terms with it. It's a loss that we have to recognize is something that's so missing. And it's only if we realize that it's missing that Hashem is brought prepared to give it us back. The Avelis, Kalam Sabala Yerushalayim, Zeche Vereya, Benechmosa, Besimchosa, Hashem is Baruch wants to know how much are we missing it. If we're not missing it, then Hashem is Baruch Kibiyochel doesn't feel the need to give it back to us. When Yankiv Avinu has his Chalayim, Pashas Vayetze, Chazal say, the place can bring it in Hilchus Tishabov, that in this Chalayim, he not only saw Binyan Beis HaMikdash b'Tifarta, but he also saw Chum Beis HaMikdash. We say in Kinas, Shor Shimumoy, he saw the desolation of Chum Beis HaMikdash by Yekainin Einzer, and he said a Kina, Yankiv Avinu, and there are various Ramazim in the Pasha which the Poskim bring, Yosem HaRashesov, which hint to this, that Yaakov Avinu saw Chum Beis HaMikdash. And maybe one of the most poignant pointers to what Chum Beis HaMikdash is Yaakov Avinu's remark as soon as he wakes up, Ochil Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh, v'anechi lo yodati. Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh, v'anechi lo yodaiti, zokrashi, lo yodaiti, ilu yodati, lo yashanti. I slept here, and I was unaware that I was actually sleeping in the Mokom HaMikdash. Had I been aware, I wouldn't have been able to sleep. Ilu yodaiti, lo yashanti. And when a person is asleep, because lo yodaiti, that Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh, that's the root of Chum Beis HaMikdash. When a person doesn't recognize the richness of Ruchnius, he doesn't realize what he's missing when he's missing Ruchnius. He doesn't appreciate how much he needs an extra dose of Ruchnius in his life, and how much a difference it would make if he had a Beis HaMikdash or if he doesn't have a Beis HaMikdash. It's that itself that creates the gap. That's why Hashem Yisbaruch doesn't give it us back. Kol HaMisabel al Yerushalayim. If we begin to feel what we're missing, Zeche v'rei b'simchoso b'nechmosa. What is the essence of what a youth felt b'zman sh'b'samikdash ha'yakayim? Talking about Madregas. Madregas that are beyond us. Rosh Hashiva Rabaran is reputed to have said that we wouldn't be able to look at a Yid who lived Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, even a Poshti Yid. We don't understand the Madrega of Kedusha, what it means, a person with Zecha to be Oile L'Regel, a person with Zecha to be in the Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash. To give us a gauge, Chazal tell us, Tzofa Moshe, Sha'osid Mikdash Lichorev, Va'asidim Bikurim Liposik. In Chum Beis HaMikdash, there's so many different aspects that were taken together with the Beis HaMikdash. So many Matonas Tevis, there was Simchas Beis Sheva, the Kob Natomid, Nesochim. Chazal, take one of those things, there was Bikurim. Tzofa Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Osid Mikdash Lichorev, Va'asidim Bikurim Liposik. That the Mikdash is going to be destroyed and there's going to be no Bikurim. Omar v'tikin sholosh tefillos b'chol yom. Moshe Rabbeinu was mesakin 3 times Shemini Esrei a day. It's an awesome medrash tanchuma. A person davens Shemini Esrei 1,000 times a year. We, our Shemini Esrei, I speak for myself, our Shemini Esrei is really a shell of what tefillah is supposed to be. We have no hasoga of what real tefillah is. Even in our days, there were Yidden who had a hasoga in tefillah that to us is like people from a different planet. I saw once in Maisa Ish, a very reliable sefer, brings there a story of a nephew of the Chazon Ish, whose name eludes me for a moment, Shmuel Karelitz, I think it was, who said that on Yom Kippur once, he had a very serious question to ask. He needed to ask the Chazon Ish. It was a question of Pikuach Nefoshes. He had to have an answer, probably, the question whether someone could eat, I don't know. So he went to, he didn't daven with the Chazon Ish that year, but he needed to have an answer to the question in the middle of Yom Kippur. So he went to the Beis Medrash where the Chazon Ish was davening. And to his distress, he realized when he came in that they just started Shemini Esrei of Musaf. It was a minute or two into Shemini Esrei. But it was Pikuach Nefesh, and he knew that the Chazon Ish has to be Mafsik Shemini Esrei to answer him. So he went over to where the Chazon Ish was davening, and he whispered a shayla of Pikuach Nefesh. The Chazon Ish didn't notice him. So he said a bit louder, Pikuach Nefesh. Chazon Ish didn't hear him. He spoke into the ears of the Chazon Ish, Pikuach Nefesh. Chazon Ish did not hear. This is a level of absorption in tefillah that we have not sog of. He said he shouted into the ears of the Chazon Ish did not hear. He put his hands on the Chazon Ish's shoulder and Rebbe Pikuach Nefesh, he still didn't hear. He said, as reluctant as he was, he had no choice. He started pushing the Chazon Ish. When he pushed the Chazon Ish, he said it was as though he was coming down from a different world. And he looked at him and he said, Rebbe, Pikuach Nefesh. He asked him his question. He answered it and went back to his world. This is the tefillah of the Chazon Ish. Can we imagine the tefillah of Reb Chaim Volozhiner of the Chasam Sofer? Can we imagine the tefillah of Rashi in the Rabbeinu Tam? Can we imagine the tefillah of Rabbi Seinu HaTanoim Va'amiroim? 100 tefillahs like this a year are necessary to give us the vitamins that we took from one time bringing Bikurim in the Beis Hamikdash. It's awesome how many different aspects of Ruchnis there were in the Beis Hamikdash. But I want to bring one quality, one point that a Yid had, Bizman Shebeis Hamikdash HaYikayim, that really defines the difference between one generation and the next. The Gemara tells us in Brochus, Daf Chof, that the Amiroim couldn't understand why it is that in previous generations, Amiroim would stand and ask for rain, and as soon as they finished the tefillah, the rain would fall. And we, the Gemara says, we're bigger Talmid Chachamim than the previous generation, the Gemara says, various differences, we know how to learn better. And nevertheless, Tzavchinon, Tzavchinon, V'les Man Da Alshkech Bo. Our tefillahs are not so accepted. And the Gemara says, Kamoi, Masri Nafshayu HaKadushas Hashem. Previous generations had such a dedication, such a mesiras nefesh, that they were zeicher to Kabbalas HaTefillah. If the question was that previous generations could learn less than us, that means that it was understood by Chazal that Torah is the defining quality. And it depends on Torah. So what's the answer? The answer should have been, they knew less, but they understood more. Maybe they learned more hours. The Gemara says a whole different thing. Masri Nafshayu HaKadushas Hashem. Zakhar Baran, the Torah that comes together with Mesiras Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem is a different Torah. It's a different Dveikus. It's a different Avos HaTorah. Everything is tolos of the Gemara on levels of Mesiras Nefesh. And when we think of the reason why previous generations had more Mesiras Nefesh than we have, what a Yid in a previous day, I'm not even talking about in Europe, even in America, what an Eilach Yid had to go through just to be a Hashem HaTorah Mitzvah, Mesiras Nefesh. We think of Mesiras Nefesh and the reason why it was more common in previous generations is because they had more Avos Hashem and they had more feeling for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's definitely true. But there's something else, and this is very important. Mesiras Nefesh means literally giving over your nefesh. Your nefesh is your rotzen. Mesiras Nefesh means selflessness. And the capacity for selflessness gets less and less in every generation. In our generation, we live in a world that's so self-absorbed, so self-centered, where people have such a feeling of li magia, I deserve this and I deserve that, and I'm being deprived if I don't have. In a world like that, it's very hard to come to Kedusha. The Haflah says in Ponim Yofis in Vayetzeh, Och in Yesh Hashem v'mokim hazeh v'anichi lo yadaiti, he says a drush, beautiful. He said, how do I, Yankov Avinu, know that this is a Ruch Mystica place? It looks the same as anyone else. I don't see the Beis HaMikdash here yet. It's in the future. Och in Yesh Hashem v'mokim hazeh, you know how I know the Yesh Hashem v'mokim hazeh? Because v'anichi lo yadaiti, even on my level, I don't feel any anechi. I feel less awareness of myself than I usually feel. That shows me the Yesh Hashem b'mokam hazeh. Because Yesh Hashem b'mokam hazeh and anechi le'yadaiti go together. If Yesh Hashem b'mokam hazeh, but the person's full of his anechias, he's not going to be magish the Yesh Hashem. Previous generations lived with a much higher level of anechi le'yadaiti. The Gemara tells us, Sukkah, Torah Shrova, Maidich Siv, Mayofo Pamayir, Barmolim Bas Nodiv, Shira Shirim, the Shira's Ava, the love song between Hashem Yisborach and Kal Yisrael. Each one of them talks about their love for the other and reminds themselves of times of beautiful pinnacles of Ava. And Hashem Yisborach looks at us and he says, I remember the time, Mayofu Pamayich Manolim, Mayofu Pemi Ragla Yisroel B'Shosho Yo'ilim Neregel. How beautiful it was to watch Yidin B'Shosho Yo'ilim Neregel. Mayofu Bas Nodiv, Bitei Shel Avraham Avinu Shenikra Nodiv. Klal Yisroel is the daughter of Avraham Avinu Shenikra Nodiv. Shenema Nedive Amim Nesofu Amaleke Avraham. Amaleke Avraham, V'ray Aleke Yitzchak V'yankiv, Ala Amaleke Avraham, Shehoya Tchilo Legev. What is the Gemara saying over here? Mayofu Pa'amayich Bana Olim. When a Yid came to the Beis HaMikdash, when a Yid stood in the Azora, Ba'akainim Bo'am O'imdim Ba'azora, Kesho Yishayu Mez Hashem Anichu Ba'anayra, Mefayrish Yeitzim Epi Kain Godol, then a Yid felt a complete hisbatlus to the Ribbono Shel Olam. His kriya v'hishtachvoah wasn't just a motion, it was an echo of a complete hisbatlus. But the greatness of the Mayofu that Hashem Yisborach says is that even before the Yid was in the Beis HaMikdash, he was in the same streets and talking to the same people as he was the whole year. He was getting ready to find his way to the Beis HaMikdash. But just the awareness that he's going Oyla L'Regel, that he's going Lireis as Pnei Hashem, created, wreaked such a transformation that the person was in a different world. Mayofu Pamayich Bana Olim. We still had our shoes on. The shoes of leather represent our connection with the animal world, Shteitim Svorim. In the Beis HaMikdash, Yid was in a different world. But even when a Yid was Oyla L'Regel and he still had his Na'olim on, Klal Yisrael was transported as they went to Regel, you couldn't believe this is the same person that you met the whole year. He was in a ruchnistic frame of mind, in a totally different world. And Hashem Azbaruch says, "My yofa pamaich banodim," that was so beautiful to witness. Bas Nodiv, what was this different world? Bitei shel Avraham Avinu shenikra Nodiv. Netivei amim nesochu amelekei Avraham. Netivei amim, the Gemara says, are the gerim of the world. A goy recognizes the truth in Yiddishkeit, and he becomes a ger. That's not just an intellectual realization. A person is making the ultimate hisnadvus. He's giving away the comfort of his culture, of his family, of his surroundings. He's giving everything away to follow the truth of Hashem Yisbarach. Where does that come from? Where does that spirit of hisnadvus come from? Nedivei amim ne'esofu. The gathering of all the Nedivei Amim of the world, all those who throughout the generations became gay, where did they get that capacity to give away from themselves? The Nidvas Halev, Am Elekei Avraham, Avraham Shayatchila Legeirim. Avraham Avinu took the tzivu of Lech Lecha Me'atcha, Me'latcha, Me'beis Avicha. Give it away. Give away the security of Artzicha, the language, the culture, the warmth of your family, give it all away for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that brought into the world a spark of Lech Lecha Me'atzcha that even a goy can take and become a ger. Zok the Gemara, Bas Nodiv. We have it in our genes. We have Mogin Avraham, we have a part of Avraham Avinu in every yid. And that part of our connection with the Ovis Actation became inspired when we went to the Bisa Mikdash. Bas Nodiv, Ma'ayofu Pamaich Banolim Bas Nodiv. When Ayid went to the Bais HaMikdash, he lifted himself up from the world of self-centeredness, of self-absorption, of selfishness, and he became selfless. He became transported to a world where Hashem is Baruch, where the person next to him, where the feelings of the person next to him, the maskilel doll, I have money, but he's a doll, he's a poor man. My feelings for him, my understanding of him, the person became far more attuned and sensitive to others because he allowed himself to be pushed to a side. My mother-in-law, Leah Sholem, Jefferson Kotler, was a person who, throughout her lifetime, achieved incredible things. The growth of the Olam HaTorah in America is, according to all those that have witnessed it over 50, 60 years, a neis nigla, something incredible. And in her own tzniyistika way, she had a big part in it, a very big part in it. Her mesiras nefesh, with warmth and with a smile, with a self-effacing manner, and with her rejection of any kind of COVID was a hallmark of a previous generation. I want to tell you a story which I think is a mitzvah of Farsim. It's about her, but it's really not so much about her. She's the part of the story. And with this story, she was part of the story, but it really defined her life afterwards. My Shver Zechren Avrocha, Shiv of Lakewood, Reb Shneur, was a Bocher of 24, 22, 23, in Kovna, in 1941. And Reb Chonon Zechatzadik Avrocha, Shem Yinkim Domei, Reb Chonon Wasserman, spoke to the Shiva Baron about a Shidduch for his daughter, for his son, with this girl, Rishel Friedman, whose parents lived in Memel, but at that time they'd escaped to Kovna. Memel was overtaken by the Nazis early in the war. And the Shidduch went through, and the Chosin was a healthy Chosin, the Kala was a healthy Kala, and it was a wonderful Shidduch. shortly afterwards, the war was in full force, and everybody was scattering to get out. And Reb Shneur Zecher Nevrocha was, Baruch Hashem, managed to get out of Litta, Poland, and get on the boat to Eretz Yisrael together with some of the giants of that generation, Lezer Yudel, others, maybe the Briskirov, we're not quite sure whether it was the same boat. Lezer Shach was there, and he went on that boat, and he went to Eretz Yisrael, where he learned in Hebron, and he learned for 7 years in Eretz Yisrael, stayed by his illustrious grandfather, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, Zecher Tzadik, Mekodesh Lebrocha, learned by the Briskirov. That was Rabbi Shneur, was in Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Rishel, my Shviga, her father was killed by the Nazis in the infamous 9th Fort in Kovna, among with many Yidin Kadeshim, Hashem Yinkum Domam. Her mother went to do a chesed in Telz, left Kovna, went to Telz the day before the Nazis came, so she was saved for a year or two or three. But eventually it caught up with her, and she was killed also by the Nazis. My Shviga was old enough to get papers, and she went with the famous fictitious papers, the Caracol papers, and she basically joins the Miri Yeshiva. Not that they had a Beis Yaakov department, but she was sort of went along with them to Kobe, Japan. A 17-year-old girl, 18 years old at that time, no father, no mother, alone in faraway Japan. Rav Aaron Zecher Tzadik Livrocha and his Rebbetzin also came to Kobe, but they had papers to get to America. And Rav Aaron was fervently hoping that from America he'll be able to do more for Hatzolah. That was what was burning within him, to get as much support from anybody and everybody, to be able to help as much as he could. He left Kobe and came to America, but he couldn't get papers for my Shviga, for Rebbetzin Rishel, so she stayed on her own. A girl, a galmud, a lonely girl on her own. She went from there to Shanghai. And in 1945, when the war ended, the Miri Yeshiva in various phases started leaving Shanghai. Some went to America, through San Francisco, they came to the East Coast. Others went to France, a handful went to Eretz Yisrael, but she couldn't get out. And the reason she couldn't get out was that while she was in Shanghai, she contracted a very serious case of typhus or tuberculosis, I'm not quite sure. One lung was gone completely, the other lung was seriously affected. She had terrible ulcers in her feet. She'd become from a healthy girl, a sick girl. The American government doesn't usually welcome such people. And Rav Aaron Zecher Tzadik Livrocha tried very hard, and with a tremendous Siyata D'Shmaya, Chiddush Godel, a Nes Godel, she was allowed into America in 1947. Shver Zecher Nevrocha Reb Shneur came back to America. And at that time, she was taken by her mother-in-law, future mother-in-law, Rebbetzin Kotler, Baron's Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Chanapel. She was taken to a number of doctors and experts, and their prognosis was very grim. They said, this girl is probably not going to live too long. And absolutely for sure, she cannot have any children. Sakonis nefoshes. And to everybody's mind, it was an obvious thing that in such a situation, you don't continue with the shidduch that you made 7 years ago when she was healthy and young and she had parents. She was a sick girl. The Alter Rebbetzin said, we'll worry for her like her own child to make sure she gets married to somebody who can't have children. But Shneur, my son, has to marry a healthy girl. Rosh Hashiva Reb Aaron, in an incredible display of tzidkus, of mesiras nefesh, of sensitivity, different neschoys, but this is what I heard. My wife heard it from the Alter Rebbetzin herself more than once. Rosh Hashiva Baron said, "Ich nehm nicht auf sich tschefen mit der Yosema. I will not allow myself to be mitzayir Yosema. She has no father, she has no mother. The shidduch wird weitergehen." And in Tovshin Tess, great simcha, great joy, Reb Shneur married her with a munah and bitochen and the Rebbeinu Shalom. This was lemaila miderech hateva. This is midas on the highest level. This is yiras shemayim, zehiras in the covered of a bas yisrael who was alone in the world, who had no one to defend her, no one to fend for her. The Rebbeinu Shalom responded lemaila miderech hateva. She lived for another 66 years till this past Leil Shabbos. She outlived every doctor and every expert and every self-proclaimed person knowledgeable in medicine. All of them she defied. She outlived them all. And all those who said she can't have children, she had 9 children, Baruch Hashem, married them all off. She went to all their chasnas. She saw her children married. She saw her grandchildren married. She saw her great-grandchildren married. She outlived Reb Aaron, she outlived Reb Aaron's Rebbetzin, she outlived Reb Shneur, outlived everybody. Hashem is Baruch, is Meshalem Toiv, Sapru Kol Niflo Esed, is Zadova Niflo, Nashkoches Hashem is Baruch Al Tzadikim. When a person lives in a Medjega of Lamaile Miderech HaTeva, Yezechata Hashkoche of Lamaile Miderech HaTeva. This story really was not her Mesiras Nefesh, it was Reb Aaron and Reb Shneur. But this created the mode and the theme of what that house stood for. It's impossible for someone who wasn't there and didn't live with it to realize how absolutely, ba'ofen tivi, how naturally and normal it was in that house, that there's no zich v'chlal, there's nothing for yourself, everything is for other people. The Derech HaOlam is when a person goes through a war and is left with nobody, they start fending for themselves. They become self-absorbed because of necessity, because no one else is taking care of them. She was the exact opposite. She couldn't understand how you could think for yourself. Only think for others. Every umlal, every tzabroch nefesh, every strange person who couldn't fit in anywhere else, every misfit, found its place, found his or her place there. Every older person, younger person, everybody. Chesed b'li metzorim. The children knew their room is not their room. This room is for Rebbetzin Markel, who after she was an almona lived there till the end of her life. And this one's for this lady, and this one's for this man. And all these people were kainah mokim. Mesiras nefesh starts with a feeling of selflessness. There are wonderful people in the world who do a lot of chesed. You have to have an appointment to meet with them. You have to give them the right appropriate covet. If you don't, they may tell you, I'm not used to being spoken to this way. And Hashem is Baruch's machshav v'chesodim, but it's limited. When you talk about someone from the previous generations, like my shviger and Shneur, of course, giving and giving and giving, beligvul, bas nodiv, bitte shel Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't need appointments. Avraham Avinu didn't need secretaries. Avraham Avinu didn't need mashasim and mashasim mashasim. Avraham Avinu was a nesin mit nidvas halev. And this is what we have within us. And this is what we have to maintain. After Reb Shneur became the Rosh Hashiva of the biggest yeshiva in America, grew and grew and grew. Chosh v'yid, he's on the Meyetzes. Which kind of people should be coming to him for Shabbos, Talmid HaChamim, Levirim, people who are distinguished. Their house was full of all kinds of people that other people would be embarrassed to have in a house. They were treated like royalty. Every other yid and every other yidna was royalty. And if the children treated them any less, they were given scathing rebuke. Ayid, v'kamen azei redden. Every person has chashivas and has malchus. We live in a world of self-absorption. Everybody's taught to think for themselves. And every time you do something, make a cheshbon. But I'm going to lose out. Who's taking care of number one? Who's taking care of me? We have to remember the Kamoy de Masri Nafshayo Kedush Hashem. The essence of Chu Abis HaMikdash is Bas Nodiv. To have Ashroes Hashchina, to be able to appreciate the Kedush of Amokim Kodesh, there has to be an Anechi Leyadaiti. Hashem's work should help us to go on this derech and to be Zeich to Ashroes Hashchina, Abinu Bis HaMikdash from here.